Oh, the mudslinging, the money being spent on ads. We're not talking about the Republican primaries. We're talking about a campaign here in Massachusetts shaping up to be a barn burner this fall. Sitting Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, the Republican, and his likely Democratic challenger, Elizabeth Warren. Early on, the League of Women Voters showed children struggling to breathe as they slammed Scott Brown in ads.
When Scott Brown voted to eliminate clean air standards that reduce smokestack and tailpipe emissions, just imagine what it could have done to her.
And Karl Rove's Crossroads GPS attacked Warren for her support of the Occupy movement.
14 million Americans out of work. But instead of focusing on jobs, Elizabeth Warren sides with extreme left protests at Occupy Wall Street.
But what if the two candidates called a truce? Scott Brown asked first. Warren responded, sure, but let's make sure it's enforceable with consequences. The campaigns plan to meet to hammer out an agreement that would prevent outside groups from airing new negative ads. Glenn Johnson is political editor for Boston.com and a reporter for the Boston Globe. And Glenn, can a truce really be done?
Yeah, it's nice political theater, but it has no practical relevance. They can talk all they want and try and stake out this high moral ground and portray themselves as interested in ending this third party advertising. And while they can condemn it and use a lot of rhetoric around it, they have no legally enforceable way of controlling it. That's the whole idea about a super PAC. It's the whole idea behind 527s. They are independent of the candidates, and they are designed to advocate not for the candidates expressly, but for the views of their supporters. So a 527, like League of Conservation Voters, has a fiduciary responsibility to its donors to run ads that promote its views, not to worry about what Scott Brown or Elizabeth Warren think about the content of those ads.
Well, some would say, gee, isn't he the cynic? But actually, you've got some history to back things up here. You write today about the last attempt in a Senate race for candidates to make an agreement. This was 1996. The two candidates were the Democratic sitting Senator John Kerry and his challenger, the sitting governor, William Weld. They agreed to limit their TV campaigns to, I think, $5 million apiece. What happened?
Well, it fell apart. That's actually an instructive lesson in this whole thing. You know, Weld and Kerry tried to seize, again, the high moral ground, saying that this was a closely watched U.S. Senate race. Everybody in the country would learn from their example. Towards the end, when Kerry thought he might lose his seat, he breached the agreement. He spent another $1.7 million, and he tried to justify that by claiming that Weld had negotiated a lower commission rate for his ads, so he was able to run more commercials than what would have been otherwise allowable under the agreement. But that was something that fell apart, and that was about ads being run directly by the campaigns themselves, which the campaigns could do.
Well, and we know that there will be outside groups. I mean, this is going to be a very high-profile national race. The Democrats very much want to take Ted Kennedy's seat back. Scott Brown was ushered in a special election backed by a lot of out-of-town firepower. So is it safe to say a lot of people will be watching as, you know, you say it's sort of, you know, they're going through the motions, but at least they're going through the motions to try to hammer out this agreement?
It's a commendable effort. I'm just trying to get people to focus on the practical reality of it, and that is that it would be unenforceable. The bigger issue to deal with is there was a Supreme Court ruling, Citizens United, that legalized a lot of this corporate union spending that we're going to see this time. There's, you know, groups that hide behind these 527s and other sections of the tax code, IRS tax code. That's more the issue. And McCain-Feingold tried to address some of this, and the Supreme Court struck it down. So basically for this election, there is just going to be unlimited money flowing into each side.
And by the way, might Scott Brown, the Republican, also have an eye on what's going on in the national scene? Very briefly,
sure.
It's the Republican presidential candidates who are testing out this super PAC, and from what we're seeing, they're not happy.
Yeah, the super PAC thing allowed by the Citizens United decision is just unprecedented. People here still haven't really gotten their heads around it. There is a limit on how much an individual can give to a presidential candidate, but there is no limit at all on what a millionaire or anybody with a tremendous amount of means can give to candidates through these third-party groups. And so that virtually means that there is no limit anymore on campaign spending, on political campaigns. If you think it's bad now, wait till the fall when you have the presidential and the senatorial ads going 24/7.
Glenn Johnson, political editor for Boston.com and a political reporter for the Boston Globe. Glenn, thanks as always.
Anytime, Robin.